Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Top line numbers from the session, just to give you an idea of what a typical session looks like. 1,900 bills filed this year. Of that, 325 passed through the legislature, so passed both chambers, will go to the governor's desk for consideration. And as I've mentioned a couple of times, that is a very productive session by normal standards. Usually we see 250 to 300 bills passed. And for the last couple of years, we've seen well into the 300s on number of bills passed. So really a productive couple of years for the Florida legislature.
This is Chris Dawson from Gray Robinson Lobbying talking to the Chamber of Commerce, the legislative wrap-up last week. And the only part of that that I would just not necessarily disagree with, but just sort of raise an asterisk of a question mark is, the definition of a successful legislative session. Now, if you define success as passing a lot of new bills, then yeah, by that measure, the Tallahassee legislature, Florida State legislature, has been successful this year and in the past several years. But, you know, if you don't define more laws as success, you know, that's sort of a... you know, is it better for the citizen for the government to do more, or is it better for the citizen for the government to do less? And, you know, generally speaking, it is my own opinion that cutting down from 1,900 to 325 is great. You know, that's 1,600 to the good. Just 300 more to go. You know, if we could just manage to not pass any, it might be better. I mean, I know that's a bit of a hostile to government view, but at the same time, you know, it's a question of whether new laws benefit you or whether new laws restrict freedom and make us less and less and less of the kind of place that you want to live. Well, you know, a lot of the things that they do in the legislature are kind of pro-freedom. A lot of the things that they do in the legislature are kind of, you know, pro the shaping of freedom, and then some things are also restricting of freedom. So it's hard to measure. I'm a little, as a, you know, constitutionalist, as a conservative, I'm just a little bit uncomfortable with defining success in government as more. And that, you know, that's, you know, just phraseology I understand that he's getting at. But, you know, like, for example, our whole system of federal government is designed around the premise, even our system of state government is designed around the premise that when it fails to do much, it's doing exactly what it should be doing. You know, government should be hard, right? You have, like, one of the things that happens is a lot of bills go to die in the Senate in Tallahassee. You know, the state house passes a bunch of stuff, and the state Senate says, nah, screw you. I mean, that's basically how it works every single year. And that's okay. That's frustrating for you when the Senate fails to take up something you want to pass. But again, that's the system. And you say, well, okay, when it passes both houses and the governor vetoes it, well, that's bad. Maybe not so bad. Now, the problem we have in Florida is, you know, and trust me, this is as a Republican, I say this. The problem is that the, you know, Republicans control the House and the Republicans control the Senate and the Republicans control the, you know, the governorship. And also now the Republicans control the Supreme Court. The third check on government, right? The judiciary. I'm a little uncomfortable because it's good if you like what our side stands for. It's not good if you don't like what our side stands for. It's also not good if you generally believe that government is supposed to be inefficient, unproductive, stymied, gridlocked, and do nothing. Like, when the government does nothing, that's good. So, again, just kind of a definitional matter, but it's worth mentioning because historically, conservatives have kind of liked the idea of checks and balances and an efficient government. Another thing that happened this year, two things really, that happened but won't happen, like they don't have any actual practical effect, most likely.
A couple of things that he did have, first was, and these actually, both of these next two really amount to the state of Florida calling on a constitutional convention for a federally balanced budget and for term limits in the Congress. It's been a while since we've had a constitutional convention in America, but now Florida is one of at least a few states that have called on that for these two topics, and that was a big priority to the governor.
Yeah, this is a feel-good, won't do anything, right? Because we're not going to have a constitutional convention. I mean, come on, do you really believe we're going to have a constitutional convention? Oh, I think it'd be great to do for both of these topics, but, you know, it's a bit rare. It's 200 years, right? We haven't really done this. So that seems unlikely. Of course, the big signature headline legislation that almost didn't pass this year had to do with social media access by minors.
And House Bill 1, which ultimately became House Bill 3, was the largest of those. And this is youth and social media bill. The original bill, House Bill 1, was actually vetoed by the governor, and the legislature got a second bite at the apple in passing House Bill 3. And what it really amounts to is, at what age should our youth be on social media? Already banned from 13 and under at the federal level, it really became a question of that 14 to 15-year-old. House Bill 1, which got vetoed, was a complete ban at 16 and under. The governor wanted to see some parental controls for 14 and 15, and ultimately that's what happened in House Bill 3. And so you've got no social media basically up to 13, 14 and 15, parental consent, and then 16 and above is when it will be legal in Florida to be on social media.
Yeah, I don't think I actually even realized until they were talking about it that 13 and under is banned by the federal government. I thought that was kind of interesting. And yeah, this is the one that started off HB 1, passed, and then got vetoed, and then it came back as an attachment to HB 3, which is the no porn for under 18 unless you go through an age verification process. That passed along with the monster add-on legislation of the ban on social media use for 15 and 14-year-olds, except if a parent gives them permission. So that's what we actually have as the law that goes into effect October 1st, I believe that's correct. Another one that's going to be kind of an interesting ballot measure.
Another one that you'll see on the ballot in November is adjusting the homestead exemption for CPI plus inflation. That'll be on the ballot in November. 60% of the vote will be required of Floridians in order to put that into the Constitution, but it was a big priority of the Speaker to pass this year.
Consumer Price Index, if you're not familiar with the term, CPI. This is actually, it's interesting and also not interesting, because what we're going to have a chance to do, we have several ballot initiatives that we get to vote on in the fall, the most high-profile ones of which are obviously legalizing recreational marijuana and also, putting restrictions on abortion, you know, kind of giving the left the opportunity to come back and restrict abortion after we've had wins in order to reduce the gestational period for abortion access to 6 weeks, except for life of the mother and some other this has been an issue. Well, we're going to vote on that in the fall. But the one you haven't heard much about is a inflation-based homestead exemption increase. What this would do is, okay, so I know sometimes following all the math of these things is a little hard, and trust me, radio doesn't make it easier, but the first $25,000 of your home is exempt from taxes, the home you live in, right? And then if your home is worth more than $75,000, which if you've got 8 square feet or more, your home is worth more than $75,000 these days, but it's not the second $25,000, it's actually the third $25,000, you know, so from 0 to 25, you get 25 off. From 25 to 50, you don't get any more. From 50 to 75, again, you get that $25,000 off. And then so in total, you get 50, right? And then there's a whole bunch of other categories if you fall in them, disabled veterans and elderly. I think I remember it's all a bunch of, you know, sort of voodoo calculations. But this one, what this would do is it would take that $25,000 base and it would increase it by the rate of inflation from the previous year, only increasing, never decreasing. And so if the inflation in the previous year was zero, the exemption would stay at what it is. And remember, there are other things, but the and it can, you know, your homestead exemption is also limited how much your value of your property tax can go, the value of your property can go up every year. There's a limit on that. What this would do is, okay, $25,000, if there were 4% inflation this year, it would mean that next year your exemption would be $26,000, because 4% of $25,000 is $1,000, $26,000. So you would basically at the local millage rate, non-school board, by the way, that's exempted from this, you would save somewhere in the vicinity of like $6 to $9 a year on your property taxes at a 4% interest. Now, if it was 8%, you know, if it was Biden at his roaring peak, you know, 10%, something like that, then you might be talking about maybe $12 to $15, $18 a year. Just, I mean, it all depends where you live, if you live in a city, incorporated, not, which one you live in and all that. But the short version is, the takeaway bottom line is, if we approve this amendment, it will mean that if inflation is a little high or high or existing, then you will have a greater homestead exemption on that first $25,000, and that means you will save literally a couple of bucks a year on your property taxes, which is not going to change anybody's bank balance much. if you own a home, you know, your property tax is already enormous, and this would mean that instead of paying $2,500, you would pay $2,488, and Earl Shive can paint your barn. 521 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
It's News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, the website, the app, or your smart device. It's news on your terms.
Can you remind me what I pay you people for? Honestly, throw me a bone here.
Is it in the grand scheme of the world that the Ramones has become acceptable grocery store music, and Minor Threat I still can't even play on the radio? Like, you know, just feels like we've made a misstep somehow. There's a consistency issue there. 524 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And yeah, rain off and on this morning. We're going to see a little bit more of it. I'm taking a look at the News Radio ThreatNet radar. The worst of the storming is off to Tallahassee right now, and past Tallahassee, really. There's a little kind of a crescent that goes from out in the Gulf east to the west of us, starting in New Orleans, and then kind of bends around up towards like Birmingham. We are outside of the crescent right now, but it'll kind of pass in our vicinity throughout the morning. I mean, if you're on the beach, you know, if you're in Navarre, you're going to be seeing some of that, at least right now. 524, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former President Donald Trump's ex-lawyer Michael Cohen will be back on the witness stand again today in his trial in New York. Yesterday, Cohen testified that Trump directed him to pay Stormy Daniels $130,000.
So this whole trial, this whole case, is not about whether he had sex with her, which I think most people believe he did, even though he denies it. It's not about whether he tried to hush it up by paying her money, which I think most people believe that he did,
right?
Even though he denies it. It says it was for other stuff. You know, the money was for other stuff. It's all about whether they did proper bookkeeping, because this would be to benefit the campaign, and calling it a legal expense is different than calling it a campaign expense, which would be then subject to campaign finance law. Do I have this right?
I believe so.
Okay. And this is why we're trying a former president.
Yeah, the whole thing is really confusing.
From the side who said that lying under oath about having sex with the president was not an important matter 30 years ago with Bill Clinton. Do I also have that correct? Am I in the right vicinity here on this? Okay,
well,
checking, asking for the people at home. So, you know, and, you know, I mean, look, the affair, the cover-up, and the stories that they paid off, I mean, I figure it's kind of all baked into the question of whether you vote for the man or not. But, okay, all right, just checking. I'm always curious to make sure that we're all on the same page. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, no, I think that that all sounded about right. There is another delay in enforcement of Arizona's 1864 near-total abortion ban. The Arizona Supreme Court now granting a motion from State Attorney General Chris Mayes that will mean the earliest the law could be enforced would be September 26th. That's an additional 135 days. And Grammy-winning saxophonist David Sanborn has died. He was 78. His death announced on social media. Sanborn played in the Butterfield Blues Band and was also known for touring with big names like Stevie Wonder and David Bowie.
Very cool. David, thanks. So, I mean, not very cool, but you know, thank you for reminding us, for those of us who... I'm not a big fan, so I don't know the name, but I know for a lot of people that was a major loss to them, and so I appreciate you. I can't believe I said very cool for a funeral story. Anyway, 527 on News Radio 92.3. Sometimes you say things you wish you hadn't have said. If you wanted to, be a stripper, aspiring to graduate high school and take off your clothes for men, for money, you can't now. You can't now, Governor DeSantis. Although, did that go into effect now, or is that a future going to effect? That's one thing that's kind of annoying about a lot of these laws is the governor signs it, and some laws go into effect right now, some laws go into effect in the future. This one takes effect July 1st, okay? So you can still strip for a couple of months for the remainder of May and June if you're 19. And, man, thank goodness for Florida we got that. But, come July 1st, no, you got to be 21. Now, this bill, which... Also, I guess you can't work for the club either is another one. You can't work at an adult entertainment if you're under 21. And if you strip, it's actually enhanced penalties. Okay, so if a 20-year-old is, bussing tables, no good. And if she's actually taking her clothes off, that's even worse. This, of course, passed the legislature and has now been signed into effect. The purported intent of the bill is to stop human trafficking. Because we know that human traffickers will use... let's call them semi-legitimate occupations, like working in adult entertainment, in order to, I don't want to get into details here, but let's just say they use those establishments as cover, as showcase, as marketing, as whatever you want to call it, okay? And so in that sense, I understand this bill. And, I'm certainly not going to be the one jumping up and down about how we ought to keep 18 and 19-year-olds taking their clothes off for men in public. I mean, it's the whole industry is pretty disgusting to begin with. We know this. There's inconsistencies, like, can you still be an OnlyFans at 18? You can. Can you still star in an adult movie? You could. And what's it going to practically do to the current 19-year-old or 20-year-old who's making her living this way? Let's just say the legitimate end of the spectrum, okay? She's just stripping. Now what does she do for money? I mean, leave the state. Go strip somewhere else, take up a job as a greeter at a big box retailer. I mean, what exactly does it? And I mean, not to take up for strippers particularly, but you do have to think about what is the effect on the constituents. And a lot of them are going to be out of work. And let's be honest about it. You might be a very profitable, take your clothes off entertainer. That doesn't necessarily mean you'd be a very good bartender. Jimmy, confirm? The skills for one don't necessarily make the skills for the other. Okay, so there's consequences. And again, I hate to be the guy as a conservative who believes all of this stuff is really problematic for us as a society. But yet, there is a sense in which this is going to be bad for the women who had come to depend on this as an income source. That doesn't mean when you're starting from scratch, that you would allow this. But my one thought on this bill is it does seem like the kind of a bill where maybe grandfathering or some kind of a gradual increase of the age, you know, to go along with some, you know, like 18 this year, 20 next year, or 19 next year, 20 next year, that would have been a little bit more compatible with how we try to do things. Am I upset that now 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds can't go get paid to take their clothes off for men? No! I mean, that's a better world, right?
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Secretary of State Antony Blinken meeting with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in Kyiv earlier this morning during an unannounced visit to Ukraine.
A strong, successful, thriving, free Ukraine is the best possible rebuke to Putin.
China says Russian President Vladimir Putin is going to visit China later this week. Michael Cohen expected back on the stand today in former President Trump's New York criminal trial. Yesterday, the former president's former attorney and fixer directly tied Mr. Trump to the $130,000 payment that kept Stormy Daniels quiet and disguised reimbursements as ordinary legal expenses. But the former president says
they have not come close to proving fraud or that any fraud has taken place. There's no fraud here. There's no crime here.
America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio Pensacola. Right now it is cloudy and 68 degrees in Pensacola. Three sisters from Baldwin County are now facing charges in an alleged murder-for-hire plot. 61-year-old Judy Owen, 54-year-old Mitzi Smith, and 57-year-old Sandra Grimes all face murder-for-hire and firearm transfer charges in this case. The sisters are alleged to have conspired to kill a man that was married to one of their daughters. According to a Channel 3 report, documents show the sisters had attempted to coerce another woman into killing the man because they'd paid for treatment for her dog earlier in the year. The women allegedly gave her a handgun with an obliterated serial number to use in the murder. Eventually, that woman went to the FBI. The three sisters now each face up to 25 years in prison. Governor Ron DeSantis is now including 15 counties in a state of emergency declaration after last Friday's outbreak of severe weather. With more, it's News Radio's Joe Ford.
The initial declaration included 12 counties, but yesterday DeSantis added Escambia, Santa Rosa, and Okaloosa. This comes after the National Weather Service confirmed that an EF2 tornado touched down northwest of Munson and traveled along Highway 4 into Okaloosa County. The twister peaked at around 115 miles per hour, and besides the tornado, there were widespread reports of wind damage and power outages across our two-county area. Joe Ford, News Radio, Pensacola.
First Baptist Church of Pensacola, now receiving a $20,000 grant from the state, going towards their continued efforts at helping local foster children.
I just ordered two sets of bunk beds and four mattresses for a family, I think their grandparents maybe, but all those kind of things that can be put in, and we connect with that family. They have to give us permission to connect as the Big C Church.
Foster ministry leader Amy Floyd talked to Channel 3. She says that the money is coming from Hope Florida, which was started by First Lady Casey DeSantis. That program was started 3 years ago to help faith-based groups and organizations connect with those in need. Floyd says just in the last year, they've been able to help more than 200 foster kids through that program. Officials at Ascension Sacred Heart say that all of their hospitals, doctor's offices, and care sites in their network now remain open and operational. This is after that ransomware attack that hit the organization last week. According to a news release yesterday, the only element at Sacred Heart's operation that isn't completely back to normal now is the ability for Ascension retail pharmacies to fill prescriptions. The hospital says patients should work with their care provider to have their prescriptions filled at another local pharmacy for the time being. The FBI and other government cybersecurity agencies are investigating the possibility that the attack may have been caused by the Russian-backed Black Basta group. It is 5:34 at News Radio Pensacola. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a much calmer day today. We will just have a few stray showers possible, high near 82 degrees. Low tonight, dropping near 72 degrees. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 85. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 69. We're going to have partly cloudy skies on Thursday with a 30% chance of rain, high near 83. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, it is 68 in Pensacola, 67 in Gulf Breeze, 66 in Milton. Your next news at 6 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Anthropic, the artificial intelligence startup backed by Amazon, has announced it will launch its artificial intelligence assistant, Claude, in Europe today. A paid subscription-based version of the assistant, called Claude Pro, will be available to users who want to access all of its models. This includes the most advanced, Claude 3 Opus. Anthropic said its Claude assistant is highly fluent in French, German, Italian, Spanish, and other European languages. U.S. airlines are suing to block the Biden administration from requiring greater transparency over fees that the carriers charge their passengers. The airlines, which include American, Delta, and United, claim the new rule would confuse consumers by giving them too much information during the ticket buying process. Futures are mixed. Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 81, the NASDAQ up 47, and the S&P 500 down 1. That's your money now.
Operation MWR is Saturday night at NAS Pensacola with performances by Little Big Town and Maren Morris on the Portside Lawn. Gates open at 5:30 for this free event exclusively for DOD cardholders and escorted guests. Presented by @GovX. Remember, for everyone's safety and enjoyment, leave bags, coolers, and weapons at home. For more information, visit NavyMWRPensacola.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Doing a little law enforcement rope-a-dope. It's not Mike Wood. It's Bob Johnson, Sheriff Bob Johnson. Santa Rosa County Sheriff, yesterday had a chance to talk with him about a variety of matters. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. Oh, good to have you. We're having a little trouble hearing you, so we'll hope that the phone will clear up here in just a second. I did want to give you a chance. Obviously, Channel 3 had done an interview with the dad alleged to have drawn a gun and held an Uber driver at gunpoint after he brought his teenage daughter home late at night. I didn't know if you had any follow-up to that case at all, but you know, there's been a lot of conversation about who was in the right and why. It seemed to me like the short version is, even if you suspect somebody's done something bad, you can't draw a gun on them until they threaten your life or limb. Do I pretty much have that right?
Well, you know, basically what his perception was, or what he's saying his perception was that something, you know, bad was happening to his daughter. And a lot of people believe that he actually pulled into the driveway of the guy's home, which he didn't. He never got on the guy's property. He stayed down the street one house, and this guy came out into the street and approached him. So here's the thing, and he's behind the driver's seat, and she's in the back seat. So how much damage can you do, you know? So he's trying to justify it, and it is what it is. That's what a court's for. They'll decide what's, if he did the right thing or the wrong thing.
Okay. And I mean, it's one of those where Yeah, I can understand being a parent and being concerned, and I just,
sure.
You know,
oh, yeah.
The law is relatively clear on these matters, and unfortunately, even when you don't necessarily like the outcome, but it's, you know,
yeah.
That's why we have it, right?
Yep.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about, by the way, kudos. You got the SAFE Act signed into law by the governor.
Yeah, thank goodness. It was getting toward the deadline, so we're kind of getting worried. I knew he would sign it, but, you know, it still makes you worry a little bit when it gets that close to the deadline. So.
Yeah, and obviously this will, well, maybe not obviously, people who haven't heard, this will allow people to voluntarily enroll their car, basically, so that if they get pulled over by law enforcement in Florida, it'll notify the law enforcement officer that there is somebody potentially in the car that has some kind of special needs condition, so they can approach with a little bit more just awareness that that might be going on, right?
Yeah, it basically tells them that there may be somebody in the car that may not respond as expected. So, and it covers, you know, a lot of sheriff's offices have, you know, autism programs and stuff. Well, this covers everybody. I mean, if you have somebody in your family with PTSD from the military, or you have somebody from, you know, deaf, blind, autistic, it doesn't matter. It covers all of the special needs families.
The one of the other things I definitely want to talk with you about is we talked on Friday with Alex Andrade, State Representative Andrade, and he was telling us that you were actually the one who informed him about a pattern that you've observed in pulling over people who, let's just say, maybe they shouldn't be here, but they're driving with licenses that are legal, or they're driving with registrations, at least, that are legal, right?
Yeah, and it's happened to me several times. You know, I write about 15, 20 tickets a month still, and I'd pull over a person, and they'll be here in the country illegally. They won't have a driver's license. They won't have insurance, but they have a valid Florida tag registered to their vehicle and in their name. And, you know, so I called Alex Andrade and I said, you know, there's a problem y'all may need to address. I mean, here it is. When I go get my tag, what do I have to do? I have to show them a driver's license and insurance, or I don't get a tag. But yet here you have, you know, a person that can just go in there and get a tag. And I don't understand that, how that can happen. When a citizen needs to provide the paperwork and somebody here illegally doesn't, there's something flawed with the system, obviously.
So the people that you were apprehending, or that you were, you know, pulling over anyway, I assume you could still write them up for not having a license and not having insurance, but you just that they had registration. Is that, do I understand it correctly?
Correct. And yeah, I usually, depending on what I have going on at that moment in time, I usually take them to jail for having a license. You know, it gets them in the system fingerprint wise in case something happens later on down the road. But yeah, it's just aggravating it. Here I am, you know, I've lived in Florida now for, you know, 50 years or so and 40 years or so, and I have to show them proof of insurance before I get a tag, but yet other people don't.
Yeah, it's a wild thing. And he says there's some stuff that they're going to work on to, you know, either close the loophole or at least enforce the requirement to prove insurance, make that a little bit more, you know, robust to make sure that they actually at least have insurance. But I'm with you. Like, you know, I wouldn't have thought that you could get a driver's, you know, that you could drive with just a passport.
Yeah.
And the answer is you can't, but people are, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And also they'll have licenses from different countries. And, you know, that doesn't work either unless it is accompanied by a passport. And most of the ones I've pulled over, none of them showing me a passport. So how they're getting the tag at all, I don't understand. But, you know, like I said, we're going to put the legislature on it, and hopefully they can come up with a solution and close that door.
Very good. Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson, sir, always a pleasure. Thank you for taking some time out this morning when you're at a different obligation down in Orlando. I appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Andrew. Take care.
Absolutely. 5:44 here on News Radio Pensacola. We got added to the state declaration of emergency list yesterday. I don't know if you saw this, but, you know, you had the storms over the weekend, which hit much harder to our east. This isn't one of those cases where they forgot about the panhandle. We've had those. You know, like, is there something west of the timeline? I don't know. Nobody heard of that stuff. This isn't one of those cases. This is a case where we just really didn't get that much in the storms on Friday. And then, you know, I mean, we didn't have some. But the real emergency declaration came following all of the stuff yesterday. So added in now, Escambia and Santa Rosa and to all of the other counties that had been put into the state of emergency declaration prior to that. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, I don't know what I think about this. I'm always cautious when people propose anything that sort of feels vaguely like a conspiracy theory. You know, like, I just, you know, I'm typically, these things are, you know, not reliable. But I did read an interesting post about this HAARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program in Alaska. And I haven't done a lot of follow-up. I'm not all that interested. It doesn't scare me. It doesn't, you know, but the kind of the allegation is that this entity funded by the Air Force, the Navy, DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency that always works on the coolest and the scariest things, and the University of Alaska, that what they do is to study the properties and behavior of the ionosphere, including high power transmitters and antennas that can emit radio waves that may be responsible for stimulating the kinds of things that would be perceived by people like us as, say, the Aurora Borealis. That maybe there's some connection between the idea that they were doing testing on Friday and over the weekend, that maybe what we're seeing is not sort of natural indigenous Aurora Borealis effect, but that maybe there's some kind of experimental stimulation of the ionosphere that's producing. And, you know, we're well outside of my science knowledge now, which is also part of why I kind of put my, I don't know. I just want to see the pretty lights. You know, I personally, I don't really care too much what made them happen. But I will say this, if they can flip a switch and throw out some radio waves out of transmitters in Alaska, and they can turn the northern portion of the globe into an actually functioning 3-mile bridge light display, I mean, I think that's kind of cool. You know, do it once in a while. Can we do it for holidays? I mean, we apparently can't do it on our own bridge that was built for this purpose for holidays, but maybe one day, maybe. And, you know, in the meantime, hey, for the 4th of July, what y'all got up there that's red, white, and blue? That's kind of, I don't know whether I believe it. I don't know whether it's likely. I don't know if it's an explanation or not. But my one thought is, if it did happen to be true, I think it's kind of cool. And if it were manageable in some sense, I mean, use it appropriately. Well, that purple's kind of neat, but you got any orange up there? 547 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And, you know, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, maybe closer to the Aurora Borealis, maybe closer to Alaska, I don't know. No, here locally, obviously, because that's where Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty work. They understand the local market. They understand what's going on in the interest rates and, you know, aggregate demand and more people coming here and, you know, particular areas like the market for real estate in Warrington might be different from the market for real estate in Gulf Breeze or Pace or Milton or Jay or wherever it is you're thinking about living. And that's the point. You want experts who really understand on the ground what's happening right now, can help you figure out whether this is the right time to buy or sell, you know, what is the right kind of offer that they will or won't accept, what maybe a new build, you know, you're interested in that, well, they can work with you on the builder will buy down your points. That's something that's fairly common. Not everybody realizes it. Why would you have a realtor to buy a new house? Well, that's why, because they might be able to save you a ton of money. Anyway, the point is, find out if you're thinking about buying or selling. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 723-9158.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Are you an assassin? I'm a soldier. You're neither. You're an errand boy. Sent by grocery clerks.
Oh, Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Where you gonna run to? All on that day.
Are you an Apocalypse Now fan? Are you? Right. Have you seen the Redux, the director's cut, the long version?
I have not.
It is very long.
It's even longer.
I think it pushes 3.5 hours. It's definitely
good.
It's the extended cut. And you know what's interesting is I hadn't watched Apocalypse Now in several years. I mean, fabulous film. Disturbing film, of course, based on Heart of Darkness by Joseph Conrad. This is how cool my English class was in high school. I think it was 11th grade. We watched Apocalypse Now after reading Heart of Darkness because she thought that would be an appropriate, modern interpretation of a classic book, right?
I'm literally just making that connection.
Oh, okay.
You are teaching me something new this morning. I've read Heart of Darkness. I've seen Apocalypse
Now. I mean, granted, Marlon Brando's not in Heart of Darkness and, there's no Ride of the Valkyries in Heart of Darkness, but you see the other connections. Anyway, yeah. I hadn't watched it in a long time. And so I wasn't sure if I would know when the director's re-ads were there. Oh, you know. I mean, there's a whole swaths of the movie that were cut out. Remember the USO, the dancers that go and dance, mm-hmm. and they kind of have the riot on the stage, and they show, then the Playboy bunnies or whatever. Oh, there's a whole other scene related to that is it's disturbing, and there's a lot of that in the movie. There's things they took out that you're like, well, probably for an American audience, I can understand why they left that out. So. Even you say, how can something be more disturbing than what was it? Well, it was. I'm just telling you, there's a lot in that movie that got taken out. Something else that, I don't know why we're talking about that. Well, because I'm talking about it. What's interesting? Like a movie like that, okay, you got to know that Coppola was meant this to be like, look at the horror of war, don't do war, right? Mm-hmm. It's an anti-war movie, right? I mean, the insanity of war, the absurdity of war, that war is an atrocity, all that. Kind of like Full Metal Jacket. Full Metal Jacket is all about the absurdity. A lot of war movies are not about how war is useful and good and productive and necessary to save civilization, but war is evil. Okay? And what's interesting is when you're making a war is evil movie, and then people who kind of favor warfare or they're young men or whatever, they watch and they think, oh yeah, I love the smell of napalm in the morning. Like, they take away from your incredibly artistic anti-war message. Oh yeah, man, Dennis Hopper riding those choppers in it at sunrise is so cool. And you're like, what can I do? Well, you can't beat human nature is what you can't do. So I always think that's entertaining. I mean, like, even think about First Blood. Like, First Blood is oh yeah, Rambo. Is that the message of First Blood? Or is it maybe the message that people who went to Vietnam suffered enormous psychological trauma, come back, and have a very hard time integrating to what would ordinarily be a society,
That's not it.
No, that's not the message. Oh, just look at him with that M60, Anyway, it's funny how people react to things. 5:53 here on News Radio Pensacola. how did I do my interpretations? Okay.
That's pretty good.
All right, thanks. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the Biden administration standing firm in its opposition to an invasion of Rafah by Israel. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said the administration won't be providing Israel with offensive weapons if its forces launch a major operation in the city. Sullivan said so far, though, the IDF has only carried out targeted operations. Controlled explosives were used to break apart a big section of the Francis Scott Key Bridge that was laying across the cargo ship Dolly in Baltimore. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers planned the operation to remove tons of steel after a weekend weather delay. And I've got some bad news for you, Andrew. Are you sitting down right now?
I'm not.
Are you ready?
Nor will I, but go ahead. I'm safe.
All right.
I feel like
if
I'm in a safe place standing. Yeah.
If you're sure. Okay. this year, the MTV Movie and TV Awards will not be happening. I'm sorry to tell you.
Oh,
I know you looked
forward
to this.
I should have sat down for that.
Right.
Even metaphorically.
The network said they're putting it on pause, and they may potentially bring it back with a reimagined format next year. I would assume...
Wait, you didn't warn me that there was the entire future of yeah, really, the that Enterprise was the bad in jeopardy.
That was the bad news, really, that it might come back next year.
One year off I can handle, but warn me that you're going to take a beloved thing away. What was the name of this supposed event again?
The MTV Movie and TV Awards. If I were going to guess, I'm guessing the last time you turned your TV to MTV may have been when it was still showing music videos.
Do they? No, I don't. That's... MTV is like 80s movies. 80s and 90s movies, yeah. I mean, and VH1, the same thing.
Is that what's
thing.
On there now? I thought it was bad reality TV.
I have it on my, you know how on your DVR, if you have such a thing, you can set it to show you which of the channels that are available you want to see. Like, I don't need to see the QVC channels, okay? That's not occupying any of my time.
Are you going to get new kitchen knives?
I've got Cutco. I'm good for life. I'm safe. And Ginsu for the steak knives. I'm good for life. I have VH1, I think I have MTV on the, like, show me list, because they do every once in a while put a movie on there that I want to see. Like, I think I watched Boys in the Hood not that long ago that I had recorded off of MTV, because every once in a while they're going to show me a classic movie. Classic now includes movies of my youth. And so that's why I have it. But otherwise, no. What is it going to be? Cheaters? And My 500-Foot Life or whatever these various stupid shows are. 500-pound life. What's the name of there's a show like that, right?
So many feet.
I don't know. So.
But I walk so fast.
This, by the way, this kind of like free-form psychedelic version of the Pensacola Morning is why I do so much show prep most of the time, because I'm scared this is where this show goes when I'm not well choreographed with sound clips and news stories. I have those, but apparently we have decided to ignore them this morning.
You're welcome. I'll take you off the rails anytime you want.
Also, it does remind me a little. We haven't had to say this in a while, but the 5 o'clock hour is just a little bit different. The 5 o'clock hour is a little bit different than the rest of the show, mostly because it's the safe harbor, at 6 o'clock, which means you're supposed to be nice for the kids. But also because in the 5 o'clock hour, Jimmy's only job is pushing buttons and making comments.
It is.
He doesn't have to do the traffic, so.
I can be comfortably half asleep and still do my job.
Right. David, thanks so much for the update. 557, News Radio Pensacola. Oh, let's throw this in. Just because we're kind of in a weird place right now, I'll give you my weirdest story of the day. You ready for this? This is one where this is going to be when you and your conservative friends get around the beer table. And you're, complaining to each other about things in the world. You ready for this? This is going to be your story. San Francisco has implemented a program. It's not new. They've had it for a little while. San Francisco has a program that they have implemented to help alcoholics and homeless people, alcoholic homeless people. The program will give them drinks periodically through the day to keep them not sober so that they don't go engage in crime in order to get alcohol. What they have is people who have been identified with alcohol use disorder, and they basically have a homeless bar for them where the nurses dispense, I kid you not, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, controlled doses of vodka and beer to street people at specific times of the day, intending to keep the homeless off the streets and out of jail or the emergency room, run in a former hotel in the city's Tenderloin District. Inside the lobby, they had kegs set up. I'm reading from who wrote this article. Oh, I don't have it listed here. Sorry. I don't know. Anyway, basically giving out free beer to the homeless who've so they give them periodically throughout. They just walk in, grab a beer, another one, all day long. And that program was funded to the tune of, we thought, $2 million a year for the managed alcohol program. Turns out that's only 40% of the cost, actually. $5 million a year, the San Francisco Chronicle reports, that the city of San Francisco is spending on booze for homeless people to keep them happy.
Beer welfare?
Beer fair. Vodka fair? Sure. Here's your shot, sir. Well, which arm do you want? No, not that kind of a shot, sir. Apparently, that actually is a program in San Francisco right now.
I think I'm out of a job.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.